Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Love is Blind, Season 9, Denver, recap of episodes 1 and 2. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, Danny Ann came in early and said, skip over everything and go to episode 6. Jeez. See, they knew you were going to do this. This is why they kind of sped through a lot of stuff in episode 1. As we get into this new season of Love is Blind. And, you know, how does it hold up to the other ones? In the first looking over these first 6 episodes.
First glance, it feels like it's speeding up. So remember I made that comment when we did Love is Blind UK? How it seems like they just get rid of the fluff and they get right into it. Right. I feel like this season is doing that. Yeah. I've been looking forward to this season only because of what the Married at First Sight Denver debacle was. I wanted to see what the singles were going to look like on Love is Blind. And it did disappoint. You know, 20 people, 3 black, 2 half black.
You know, it did remind me of Minnesota so much. I'm like a sum to be. I'm still confused after watching these episodes. Had to rewind just to clarify who was who and what the F was going on. And that's how I felt about a couple of these couples. I was like, what's this person's name again? And see, Elson agrees. Like, we had vacation in the first week. So, yes, sped up. Yeah, exactly. The fact that when you get through all 6 episodes, we're going to go through 1 through 2. And then, of course, in 2 days, we'll do 3 and 4. Then we'll do 5 and 6. But, let's get there, man, because first of all, initial thoughts. I mean, one of the first things I looked at when I saw it was, you know, you did mention it was only, 2.5 black women on there. And one of them, Calibria, says her type hasn't worked in the past. So she's leaving her type behind to find love.
Yes. Yeah. If you have a typical type you've always gone after and it's never worked out, this experiment is for you.
Right.
I think it's great. Same for the guys, because you had, I think his name is Jordan. He's a single dad. So we've seen an episode or a season where it was a single mom in the group. But now you got a single dad in the group. And I think that's a lot. I think we talked about that one season where you're like, that's a lot to tell somebody through the pod, you know, through the wall. Hey, I have a kid, especially if they're not ready for it. But I applaud him for putting himself out there.
It obviously works a little better because, you know, everybody is looking for a relationship, so you can get it over with. You don't have to see them decide to and walk away in your face. But because he said he's lost women in the past, because the minute he told him he had a son, they kind of like, yeah, deuces, bro, I'm out. So this is good for him, right?
I've done it. I'm like, oh, you got how many? You got how many kids? No, I'm not interested. I'm sorry. You know,
so you don't blame the women. I got you.
I don't blame them. You've heard me say before, 2 pets, 2 kids, you can't have both. And it depends on how old the kids are. So,
jeez. Oh, man.
That's already on the list. You don't have to add that. That's already been on the list.
Yeah, don't add that. That was number one. You know, funny moment, I thought, especially when they first started dating and just going around showing a lot of the random hits, Calibria and Rohan, right? Like, he walked in the pod and he's like, hey, my name's Rohan. She goes, ooh, you're going to have to spell that for me. He's like, okay, K. She's like, huh? Just kidding. Kind of joke that a human that you or I would bring into the pod if we were in there.
Yes.
This first couple, let's get to them as we run through these couples, because there's a lot to get through in these first 2 episodes, right? As we get to know everybody. But Blake and Sparkle Megan. Blake says most of his friends are in serious relationships, but he prioritized, you know, his career, which is something that Megan did as well.
Right. So immediately have that in common, because that's what she talked about, that she's been so focused on her career, but also it intimidates guys. And maybe Blake has the same thing. And so I think it was what Megan said, that people are intimidated by her because of her car, where she lives, and her money. So I thought this was off to a good start with these two.
Sounds like somebody else that we knew from one of these shows before. You know, on their next date, Megan says that Blake is a strong connection for her, right? And he is almost the front runner.
Yeah.
They're bonding over a lot of stuff, parental issues, lack of meaningful relationships with their parents. So there's that. Then they get to the next date and she says she desires a love where you don't have to second guess. And she feels like Blake gives her that. Did you kind of get that from their dates?
I did pick that up. I mean, I think she's trying to say that he's showing her that he chooses her, and which is really a good choice of words, because it wasn't so much that he told her through the wall, but he's showing her through the wall that he's choosing her. And I think that's powerful for this type of experiment.
There's something else that she does. She invites him as a plus one to her friend's wedding. That's, if somebody invites you as the plus one, that almost is sure, we might as well just get engaged right now, right? Because, I mean, we're walking out the pods together if you invite me to as the plus one, right? That's what they should have done.
No, because she didn't tell him the date and location.
So. She told him the location, Lake Cuomo.
Yeah, done to the date. He's just going to go hang out at Lake Cuomo until he sees the wedding show up. So, no, to me, it doesn't mean anything until you get, like, a date, meet me here, pick me up, we're staying at this hotel. Doesn't mean anything.
That's crazy, because I thought that made him a shoo-in real easy, right? Next up, we do see Megan still in play, but it's her and Mike. These two, the minute I see them, I'm like, couple. Immediately. If I saw them out somewhere, I'm like, yeah, these two.
I would say that. I mean, professionally, they just seem compatible, just right off the jump from talking. And what made me laugh really about Mike, you can tell Mike has men are creatures of habit, right? We say the same things. We do the same thing to every single girl until we find a girl that likes our stuff. So all the things that he was saying about, I have a hot tub and a sauna and I have this and all these different things about him. I'm like, that's just game. I have a king size bed, Tempur-Pedic. Like all those things, I guess, made people moist in the past. Yeah. And so he's just trying this through the wall. And I just thought it was lame.
It was. And as we find out, when we get to a couple later episodes, that it's that's not impressing her.
Right. I got three Tempur-Pedics in my house. What's the big deal?
It's real. And that's a great point. That's obviously been his line, because he was very comfortable saying, I picked up on that too. I didn't make a note of it, but I did pick up on that. But from their flirty banter to career goals, the thoughts about family, they're locked in. And you get to their next date, and Megan thinks she and Mike are very compatible. She sees what we see, because they both have their ish together, and she thinks they could build an empire together.
Now, great. But when I, at this point of the dates, I thought to myself, I bet Mike is what Megan normally goes for all the time. And here she is.
That's what I was thinking.
On this show. You know, because they have so much, all the way down to the health and fitness. I mean, they have all everything aligns. But I'm like, I bet this is who she normally goes for. And I'm thinking, this is why you're in this experiment.
Yeah. You know, Karen likes Mike. YouTube channel member Karen says, I like Mike. Assumpt B says, their conversations were so surface and superficial, no personality. El Cid says, Mike wants her to rock his mic. Cheesy. I know. And then also says, I bet Mike uses his car keys to pick up women.
I can listen to, excuse me, can you pass me my keys? Which one? It's the Rolls Royce.
Yeah. You see that? That's it's mine. The Bentley.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Mike. How are you? I have a sauna in my house. I have many leather-bound books. My house smells of rich mahogany.
To your point, though, Megan even says she usually goes for older guys, right? Now, Mike, and that's what makes Mike feel comfortable to her. Now, he's only 4 years older than her, but you can see what, this is exactly what it is.
When women say older guys, it's not so much, you know, 20, 30 years older, it's just older.
Now, that's true. Older could be 4 months. You're absolutely right. Right. Well, Megan, the highlight so far today, right? Jordan and Megan. This is an interesting couple, right?
Yeah.
Especially when they start dating. He's almost like the complete opposite of Mike. He's real chill, real relaxed, and he downplays a lot of things, right? And like, even when he asks her what kind of car she drives, because she brings up the whole thing about the car. Again, she's using her same things that she does too. She leads with that as well. And I like how this became an ongoing guessing game as to what, because she didn't say what kind of car she drives. And he tells her immediately what he drives and is like, well, let me guess what you drive.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. To me, it's similar when you go to a restaurant. If you have to ask how much it is, you can't afford it.
He didn't ask how much
the car was. No. He didn't. But I'm saying that's
how to drive the car.
It doesn't matter what type of car she has. You can't afford it and just be okay with that. Like, what difference would it make if she says, I have an Audi or I have a Mercedes or I have a Bentley? Like, what difference would it have made, no matter what she said, there was just nothing to gain from it. That's why I said I just didn't like it.
See, this is why you just where's the fun, man? I mean, this was a fun thing to do. I remember there was a friend of mine who her middle initial was A, and I was like, "What's the A stand for?" She wouldn't tell me, so I just started guessing random names. I get Agatha, Aretha.
Yeah.
And every time I'd see, I'd come up with a different name, and she's like, "Nope." Still don't know what the name is. Right. Stopped guessing years ago, but it was just fun to do.
A fun coworker, a fun friend, sure. Somebody that you're trying to date that you know makes more money than you, it's not a good look. Just let it go.
Well, I wouldn't try to date her, so you're right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like there's a huge difference. But if it's someone that you're in a dating situation and you realize they make more than you, just based off a few sentences they've said, don't ask about what kind of car she drives.
Oh my
just
God.
Be thankful that she's sitting on the side of this other side of this wall, still interested. But you're going to make her lose interest if you keep going down this path of asking her what type of car it is.
And we'll get to that in a little bit, too, because something else that came up was his kid, Luca, his son, Luca. And when asked if he wants more, then Jordan reveals something else. There was a lot of revelation on this first date between these two. He's like, hey, yeah, I've been spayed and neutered. He said he had a vasectomy, but that he was willing to get it reversed for the right person.
Yeah. And I like how Megan's like, you can do that? I'm like, girl, come on now.
Yes.
This is new technology.
Okay. If she's never dated a man that had a vasectomy, she wouldn't know that.
I've never dated a man that had a vasectomy, and I know that.
I should hope not.
It doesn't matter. I just think science would tell you that's possible.
Oh, boy. You're so judgmental. We're in episode 1 and 2. Can you not be this judgmental already?
Fine.
These two have a good connection, too, though. But here's where I think Jordan goes wrong. He goes into the men's quarters after this date and immediately tells some of the guys, including Mike, his connection is Megan.
We always talk about this every episode of Love is Blind. When you get back to the men's and women's quarters, don't say names.
Yeah.
Don't give anything specific. Not only did he say Megan, because there could have been other Megans, but there's only one. There's only one Sparkle Megan.
Very
and
true.
Everybody met her.
Mm-hmm.
So you just don't do that. I thought it was a bad move on his part.
Terrible move. Well, the next date, speaking of the Sparkle Megan, Jordan said he nearly wrote Megan off because he hates the name Sparkle Megan. Can't say I blame him. And I love the fact that he told her that.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, that just sounds stupid.
But it's also a great way for him to regain that power side of it, right? Because to him saying, yeah, I almost got rid of that stupid ass name.
Yeah. I know you got a nice car and all, but that nickname is stupid.
Okay, let's get to the guessing game. We're going to get back to his son in a second, but the guessing game on the car continues in this one, right? He's like, you got an Audi? She said, no. Alfa Romero? Which was my guess, actually.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, Ferrari? And I'm like, I wouldn't have guessed Ferrari. Did you know what it would be?
I have a guess. I think she has a Jaguar SUV.
A what?
Jaguar SUV.
Jaguar?
Jaguar. Don't try to mess with me. Jaguar. I think that's the type of SUV she has.
That's very specific because you went SUV, not just the Jaguar. Okay,
not just the car. I think the SUV because I think I've seen them. They look really nice. I don't see her as somebody that has like a Bentley or anything like that. I think she has like a Jaguar SUV. And to El Cid's point, no, not a Genesis because that's not as upscale.
No,
it looks good. It looks good, but it's not the same.
That's the Timu. That's the Timu luxury car. James says she got a Maserati or Porsche, only brands that he missed or that they didn't air, because he probably hit it on the head and they're like, yeah, we're not going to let people know that. Toya says she probably has a car most people never heard of. What, like the Peugeot 508? I've been watching this. The Kim
apparently Kardashian you've heard of it. That.
Yes, it's a French car. Peugeot is a French brand. The Peugeot. Interesting that game's still going on, even though you hate it. But then something serious comes up, which is Jordan's son, Luca.
Yeah. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 2. And it's so, you know, I felt Jordan's pain there because I think any parent, I've never been a parent, so I'm making a huge assumption. Every parent would probably just feel so torn up that their child is going through something like this because you can't do anything about it. You can't control it or whatever. And so that is sad. And hearing how, you know, and it's something I didn't think about until he started talking about it, how the little, you know, all the shots and track marks and his arms and legs. I mean, that's just sad to see a kid go through that. But on the flip side, you know, Megan's dad, which it's weird how she said this, that he died of type 1 diabetes, but they could connect it on that. So she could at least relate to it. So I thought it was a positive thing. And I think it's important for him to have said it early. Because if this is what their second date, if this was something too heavy for her, this is her chance to self-select out and say, hey, this is not going to work for me.
Right. But it almost pulled her back in a little bit more. Because she even said she likes spending time with Jordan, but she doesn't think that they are aligned. And then you get to the next date and Megan tells Jordan that he is the only one she thinks she has a picture of what he looks like. So out of all the people she's dating, she's like, I know exactly what you look like. And he goes, yeah, I can guarantee that whatever you're thinking, it's wrong.
Yeah, because I don't think she's thinking all those tattoos.
Not at all.
Lisa, I don't think she's thinking all that. But I do think it's interesting that she feels she has a strong connection with him. Mm-hmm. But because of the money thing, the car things, all that, that their lifestyles won't mesh. And again, this is why this experiment is great.
Yeah,
it's made for this.
While we all like Jordan, our YouTube channel member Pink Butterfly does not. Says, in my opinion, Jordan leads with things that make you feel sorry for him. You don't want him saying, see, that's why she didn't pick me.
I don't know about that, because I think the fact that there's a kid in the picture, I think it's good for him to do this, because that's a lot for somebody to take on. Just having a kid.
Right.
And if you're single with no kids, to date somebody with kids is hard work.
Yes.
Right. And then if you date somebody with kids, but also the kid has, you know, diabetes, has these issues, it's like, it's a lot. So I think it was great that he put all that out there.
Here's the problem I have with that statement is this. You're supposed to share. You're supposed to get to know people in this. I don't think you're sharing too much in this sense. And I think, let me throw my cards on the table. Deal with it or you don't. He's accustomed to women running away when he said he has a kid. So they didn't even get to the type 1 diabetes part of it. It's just her kid. Nah, I'm out. And they run, right? So because they're like, I don't want to deal with the baby mama. I don't know what she's like. So that was a great point you made, because you even made Pink Butterfly say, point taken.
What?
Tell us how the customer people changing their mind.
Every now and then. She'll be back against me probably by the end of this, I'm sure.
And Monica's right there too. Look, tell the truth, first or second date. Let's not wait. Let's not BS around. Some to be thinks that Jordan is the realest one on the show and is actually there for genuine reasons.
Yeah. They have 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to form that connection. Why lie and drag stuff out? And then be honest at the end of the 2 weeks. You know, you got 2 weeks. Put it all out there.
Now, to be fair, I'm doing this one for Jay Blake, who says, to be fair, he has a lot for a woman to accept. Kid, illness, and vasectomy. Because the reversal of the vasectomy is not guaranteed. But also, neither is not getting one.
But the vasectomy is the only thing that he has control over. So there's that.
He's like, my pullout game is weak. I need a vasectomy. Snippet.
So that you have control over. So, and if it doesn't work out, you're going to die.
Elsid says the vasectomy was so he can be wild and not get caught again.
I don't know if that's always why people get vasectomies, because for him to be so young to get a vasectomy after just having one kid, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's,
I've said it on the podcast before. If I could be king of the world, as soon as a male hits puberty, vasectomy. And then it can only get reversed once he has
get married,
a good job, and so he's stable to take care of a kid. If I was a king, that's exactly what I would do. Oh, congratulations, you're a man now. Snip.
So you wouldn't go for the military first?
No, because this is 12 or 13. I'm trying to get ahead of that. They can't go to the military until they're 18.
No, I mean, as king, you wouldn't go for the military first like some people trying to be king.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to throw the military. I need y'all to go to the streets of Austin.
And get Joe Rogan. Okay, let's get back to this. Anton and Alini, or Ali for short. And we find out a lot about them immediately. Like, she's Brazilian. He's Russian. Mm-hmm. She speaks Russian. Like, this sounds good, right?
Yeah, they both speak three languages. Mm. So you have so much in common. Of course, you're thinking about raising kids.
Yeah.
You know, with somebody like that, that's some good mix
Yeah,
of some stuff to put together into a little petri dish to make a baby. So
did they ever say what his third language was? Because we know hers. No. Hers is English, Russian, and Portuguese, obviously, because she's Brazilian.
Right.
But they never said what his third one was.
Right? No, he just said he speaks three languages, and she said, so do I.
Yeah.
So their first date, I mean, they're connecting on every single thing. And I don't know about you, but it's like it almost seemed like that first date, a lot of it moved fast. Mm-hmm. Like it was just like everything was instant. It was almost like a Brett and Tiffany, dare I say it. Mm-hmm. But it was like a Brett and Tiffany. Everything just kind of clicked with these two.
Yeah, you just guaranteed they're not going to make it. Every time you say Brett and Tiffany, there's only one. Something to be says, I'm here for Russia and Brazil, baby. Hashtag BRICS, hottest couple in lovers blind history. Now, would you give them that?
I can't look at him and say he's hot. Do I look at her and think she's attractive? Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. No, she's extremely attractive. That's a given. I can't lump him into that, though. He looks like he needs to take a shower. And he just got out.
you're still in the 80s because he's Russian. You're just like, ugh, Drago.
If he dies, he dies. Now, Jay Blake says they moved entirely too fast, right? And it feels like it because what they did was they sped through their dates. If you notice this, we got a speed rundown of all their dates. Like we found out they both started learning English at 8, which is why their English is so Americanized. You wouldn't have guessed that he was Russian and she was Brazilian, right?
Yeah.
They learn young. And we find out a lot of things happening here to the point that it gets so fast that Allie tells Anton she loves him with every cell in her body. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm like, already? We're still in episode one.
I thought the same because I was like, wow, this is way too fast. Mm-hmm. And everything just clicked too well. And the funny thing is you got two kids of immigrants. Their first job was McDonald's. That's the American dream. That's the American
McDonald's.
Dream. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't McDonald's. It was McDonald's. But I thought about it. I was like, okay, they normally don't propose until sometime in week two.
Yeah.
So I think they just sped through it and made it seem like this was all like the first day and they just fell in love with each other, but they didn't.
Like Pink Butterfly says, 20 minutes in on a proposal, I had to rewatch for the conversation. I was like, yo, did I miss something? And then something to be said, same thing. Agreed. I'm sure they got engaged towards the end. Yes, they just hit the fast forward like we do during the dress shopping.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it, right?
Yeah. And I said the same thing to Yanni. I think maybe their whole courting phase, that was boring. It just, there was no drama to it. Right. So there wasn't anything to drag it out. So it was like, yeah, y'all go ahead and get married episode one. Why not? Or get engaged episode one.
Actually, because here's the thing about it. When she said it, I was like, oh, crap. Too soon, girl. He's going to run. And then he goes, no, me too. And we got a first engagement. So she said she was not supposed to ugly cry, which was she?
I don't think she can. But I mean,
I'm just making sure we're on the same accord here.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible for her to ugly cry. I just think if she cried, it's going to be beautiful.
That's beautiful tears. Oh my God, hilarious. Now, here's the thing though, because we're doing episode one and two. So episode two, we do get their meetup.
Yeah.
Here's what kind of threw me off. The fact that as they walk up, he goes for the kiss and she kind of turns and gives him a cheek.
Yeah.
I was like, uh-oh, trouble in paradise already?
Nah, I think that was just nerves. Because there would be a lot going through my mind as I'm waiting for the doors to open. They have like the little breath mints and all that type of stuff there. I'm going to be over. I'll be all in my head. Okay, does my breath smell bad? Are my lips chapped? Are they not, you know, is it too moist? You know, or what? Too much chapstick, not enough chapstick. Like, I would just be all in my head. So I think that was probably nerves.
Probably was. You know, interesting thing is he is also realizing that she could not really cry either because he's stunned by her beauty until she goes, oh, I got a burp.
Yeah. I when he said, oh, the ick, and I'm like, yes, I get it. Because remember that story I said about wings?
Yeah.
It's ick. It's just, it's just turning me off. And so if I was on the first time meeting somebody and she said, I got a burp, especially if she did it loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out. Sly A, add that. If you burp out loud, no.
Now, El Cid pointed out something that I think I missed. There was no ring engagement in this one.
Good point.
Dang.
Yeah, good point.
I can't believe I missed it. Thank you.
He didn't get down on a knee and pull out a ring like they're supposed to.
Monica says, what bothered me is when they walked away, he didn't even look back. I made that exact same note, Monica. And I thought, she's there staring at him as he walks away the mile-long stretch that he's walking, this green mile back to his side. He gets in there, grabs the bottle. Let me pour me another drink. Never turns around and looks at her. Orange flag, at least.
Not at all. I thought it was smooth as hell. It was just tight. You laid it down. She's attractive. You know you got some. You walk off like you're the shit. I thought it was a power move. I thought it was a cool move.
Deanna So True says, yep, not looking back after the first meet is definitely a red flag. Else is like, well, maybe he just liked that drink.
He's just thirsty.
Maybe he was thirsty. He's like, this is good. Like, what the hell? You just get some on her. At least look back. Look back at
purple
it.
Drink.
Look back at it. He's going to give it a hoodie, something, man. Jeez. Kelly says the reason why they sped through this whole thing was Allie didn't give the cameras the sexy talk that Casey gave. You bet they'd show her more if she did. Touche. Mm. They were probably very reserved in the pods and they're like, this is all boring. Fast forward. And that's probably why. Which possibly can work in their favor.
Yep.
So next up, we get add some color to the show. Edmund and Calibria. Got some more color. We had some flavor. Now we got to add some color to it. Right? Edmund's very unique. How would you describe him?
Eccentric.
Okay, that works.
I would put him in that eccentric category.
Okay, tell me that you saw the same thing I did. I see them in there. I go, yeah, definitely not a match. Move on. She's going to have to either get somebody white or she's walking out of here single, right?
Yeah. I thought as soon as she heard the voice and everything, I was like, oh, she's not going to be interested. And I was like, okay, well, maybe. Let's see what happens. But, you know, they started out with some things in common. They both want non-traditional marriages. She doesn't care if she makes more or if her partner makes more, if the partner stays home, takes care of the kids or whatever. She just wants, she doesn't want to waste her degrees, which I respect that.
Elsa says unique is a word too light to describe Edmund. Pink Butterfly says eccentric is nice to say. You look at the things that they have. Calibria is a social worker. He grew up in a foster home. He's in real estate. She wants to do Section 8 homes so he can find the homes that she wants to buy to turn to Section 8 homes.
Yep.
Hey, the power couple. Okay, on paper, they're seeming to match, right?
On paper, they're seeming to match. Visually.
Well, that's on us because love isn't blind for us. We see it all of this.
If I look at the visual and the audio, I'm like, I don't think this is going to be a good match.
Okay, what about when he was talking about his past and he broke down? That nice touching moment tugged at her heartstrings?
You know, I thought that was interesting because I probably wouldn't have recommended it because he was really boohoo crying. And I think, you know, maybe, you know, second week, 2 days before you propose, maybe you do that. I just felt it was a little too early because I think if somebody does that super early, then that's who they're going to be. And you're always going to have to deal with this person crying and getting upset. That was my assumption when I saw that. I'm like, okay, if you're doing this early, are you going to be that crier dude?
That's the problem. I think he cried too early because you got to be very careful of when you drop them tears because you drop the tears, you can get what you want. You can get what you want, but you got to be in person to do that, not on the other side of the wall. Yeah. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Now, before their next date, yes, I see y'all pointing this out already because it's kind of weird. Because Pink Butterfly says, kissing floors? Dude, represent for the culture. This man lays on the floor face down and kissing the floor.
I was wondering, was he drunk? Like, that's something like in college you do when you're hammered. I was wondering, what are you doing? Everybody's walking on that floor and you're kissing. It just feels good to kiss something. Something? Doesn't matter what it is. You just want to kiss something?
Yeah. No. Luckily, it wasn't a guy sitting on the floor there because he might have. I'm just saying, what are you doing?
No, that definitely was not a good look. And I'm sure when Calibria watches this, I hope they show this at the reunion so he can get Calibria's opinion. But no. There's no way that you should do any of that.
By the way, last name first asked, why are they only showing dates with two black people? Because there are only three. 4.5. So technically they showed about 45% of the black people.
It was to shut y'all up and make y'all happy. That's why. They're like, see, we got two.
We are diverse.
It's interesting because Calibria is also over there talking to the women, right? Mm-hmm. About what she needs.
She needs an alpha man, and she can be the alpha, but she wants mm-hmm. someone to take charge. And mm-hmm. Edmund told her that he's not an alpha man, but he can take the lead when she needs him to. Right. And I got to call bullshit on that, Edmund. I'm not buying it yet. You got to show me. I just don't buy that.
And we ain't even got out the first two episodes yet, but
no,
yeah.
I'm just not buying it. After what I've seen, episode 1 and 2, I'm like, I don't think you can turn that on, sir. It's okay.
But see, this is why, you know, you ever been somewhere, see this fine woman, and you're like, how the hell did he get her? Right? And you wonder that. And you understand it when you see this couple, and because the next date they're on, Calibria tells Edmund she doesn't want to see anyone else. Now that either speaking to all the other guys there, how terrible they were, mm-hmm. or this guy's got game that we just haven't seen yet.
Maybe he's got game that they edited out. I don't know. I can only speak to what I've seen aired on TV. There could be a whole lot more that would make me look differently at Edmund if I knew that. I'm just going off what I've seen on TV.
No, I agree. Assumpta V says, Edmund said he played football, threw me back. He set certain physical expectations, a.k.a. linebacker type for KB. Well, he told her he played cornerback. He did tell a cornerback.
He did.
Yes.
A lot of college cornerbacks are not like, you know, Metcalf size. Mm. They're smaller. We don't know what college he went to. Did he play in the SEC? Did he play in the SWAC? Did he play in the Big 12? The Big 10? Yeah, we don't know what he, you know, where he went. But I don't think that he painted a picture that he was, you know, more of a bigger physique. Because he played cornerback.
As we roll over to Joe and Madison. Joe, who thinks he's only funny with guys, and apparently Madison thinks he's funny too.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm biased because Joe's a recruiter. Oh, and that's my world for 19 years. So I like
that. Explains
recruiter.
A lot about Joe then.
Yeah. I like recruiter folks. So I'm already rooting for him. As soon as they said Joe recruiter, I'm like, yes, one of us. They had a very interesting, you know, conversation, mm-hmm. and they started having this back and forth on the go-to date. And right. her go-to date was 7-Eleven and Hot Cheetos.
Well, karaoke first, and then the Flaming Hot Cheetos from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, they're too old for that.
The orange flag that showed up for me on this is when he couldn't even finish the date. He had nothing to give.
Yeah.
Joe gave nothing. If this was an interview, Joe would not be hired. So that's why he's the recruiter on the other side. I just want to point that out. But
he asked the questions.
He obviously can't answer them. The next date, he has questions about her cats, though, which are fair questions until she asks him, would you be asking the same question with dogs? And he's like, nah.
Of course. Why not? Because I love dogs. I don't like cats. Now, how many cats do you have? Okay. Now, mm-hmm. three of them. Well, mm-hmm. you know, my policy. But you got three of them. Are they all sleeping in the bed with you? Well, yes. Okay, yeah, I'm out now. Yeah. I can't do that. That's just too much animals in the bed. That's gross. No.
If you throw the dog in there, that's even worse. But, you know, whatever.
I agree. If I had a dog, the dog wouldn't sleep in my bed.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
And if she let the dog sleep in her bed, would you write her off because of that?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure.
Yeah. I'm consistent.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Now, here's the interesting thing. When you talk about living arrangements, Joe's lease is up soon and Madison owns a condo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joe asked about moving into her place, and I liked her response of, hey, how about we just get our place so we can establish it so you don't have to feel like you're moving into my space?
I hear what she's saying, but that doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because his lease is going to expire. Mm-hmm. He should move into your place, help put some money down on your equity, mm-hmm. and then y'all put your money together, buy another place.
Right.
Should he sign another 6-month lease just so y'all don't live together and buy your own? It doesn't make sense. Her heart was in the right place in that, but just that financially, it didn't make any sense.
No, what she was saying was, yes, you can move in. Don't get comfortable. We got to go put down something else.
Fine. But do you? What if her house is, her condo is nice?
Yeah, it might be. You
know what I mean? I'm just saying. I mean, I'm in a condo. It's 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath. If I wanted to have a kid, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day, I could have. Yeah. So for them two, it's just those two and what? How many cats?
43
cats. So I'm like, it doesn't make a difference, but it would make more sense for him to move in with her and they can kind of combine resources, stack chips mm-hmm. and make a, you know, make a bigger purchase later or save up for a bigger purchase in 2 or 3 years. Cause who knows with the government and interest rates, who knows what's going to happen in the next 3 years.
She also did reveal something to him as well, too, that because she has retinitis pigmentosa,
mm-hmm.
a diagnosis where she has a hard time seeing in low light or peripheral, and it could actually lead to blindness.
Yeah. I like that she shared that. Similar to Jordan. That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that she will go blind, but it's possible. And you got to think, okay, do I really want to get into this experiment and really get into this person if I don't know if I can handle that? So I'm glad that she told him. And I feel like Joe handled that conversation pretty well. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem all freaked out about it.
Last name first is in that case, I think Madison should exude a little more sweetness since she's auditioning men to nurture her possible blindness. I don't know.
A little harsh.
I know. It is.
A little harsh. Just a scotch.
Okay. That was. I don't see that though. Like, she wasn't mean to him. So at least not yet. No. but last name first, she did seem attitudinal to me.
Attitudinal.
If it wasn't a word, it is now. You knew exactly what it meant.
I knew what it meant. No, I didn't say it like I didn't know what it meant. I was like, attitudinal. Like, did she seem attitudinal? No. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think so either. Okay. Let's get to a couple that I didn't have a lot of notes on these next two. Like Nick and Kate, because Nick is out there full of one-liners, moving everybody to the top of his list.
Yeah. But
him and Kate, they bonded over bullying little kids and watching kids get hurt.
Yeah. I mean, you got to find something. You have some common interests. It's just like.
But that's weird.
It is weird. It is weird.
But we did see Nick and Annie.
Yeah.
What'd you think of these two? They live a couple hours away from each other.
Mm-hmm. So they both seem to be wanting the same thing. You know, Annie is saying that, and Annie's all in. She's like, we are getting married. We get engaged. We are getting married. Like, she is not messing around. Right. She just seems a little too excited.
Yes.
You know, about that. And then, of course, there's always a couple that it somehow gets to the sexual banter every time on Love is Blind through the pods. And when she spills her water, that's when Nick said, what gets drier and wetter at the same time? It's the carpet underneath Annie. Ba-doom-tsh. Not funny.
Not at all.
Yeah. And then when he lost me when he said that he wished he could gain an extra inch. Mm-hmm. And she's laughing and he's like, oh, no. You know, I have a chode that's really short but super wide. Why? I feel like that's... that's to me, that's white guy logic. Because how many black people say I got a chode? None.
No, that's he told her exactly what he was.
He told her himself, you know, I'm white, right? I got a chode.
Well, Annie has another connection too, though, Brendan, because she likes Nick, but she says Brendan is her number one. But that's literally all the notes I have on them in episodes 1 and 2.
Isn't that odd that the way she talks about Brendan, like you'd have thought we'd have saw some other things?
Yes,
make us be like, oh, I get why they're connected, but. Yep. I didn't see anything on that. So I was like, all right, he's feeling her. She's feeling him. Great.
Yeah. By the way, Sum to Be says, how is Annie from Denver? She's gave Jersey girl vibes with the 20 pieces of hair on her head.
Wow.
She has that look though. She has the look of run.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when I see her, I think turn the other way. Do not look back. Sprint. Plain and simple.
Somebody like her.
Yeah, of course. Won't be me. Also, don't stick around when I hear weird noises in the house either. Patrick and Casey. Ah, these two, man. Because Casey's 32 years old, hair and makeup artist who mostly does weddings and says she has never not been cheated on. Red flag?
Huge red flag. Mm. If you always get cheated on, and I'm sorry, I'm not saying that guys cheating is the girl's fault. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, I'm just saying there's something either wrong with your picker or there's something wrong with another P word. I don't know.
Your picker catcher.
I'm just saying if everybody cheats on you, there has to be a reason and you need to probably get some therapy and talk through and figure out why you're picking these dudes that are always cheating. Mm-hmm. But to say that everybody you've dated cheated is just a red flag to me.
Well, part of it could be because she has big insecurities concerning looks, right? The last guy she dated, the Instagram girls he followed, she's like, well, I don't look like that. Why don't I look like that? And it's just like, ugh. But they start talking and we find some commonalities. Like they both played basketball.
Yeah, there is that. But then we got a lot of differences.
What? I mean, okay, her family is very diverse. Okay, her extended family is very diverse because she's got four brothers and a sister, right?
Yeah.
Her sister sings in Korean.
Yeah.
She's in Korea at the time of them shooting.
Yeah.
Good, right?
And I think Patrick's getting excited because I think Patrick, just from what I've seen in these two episodes, he feels some type of way about being the only Asian person around all these white people in Denver. And I'm like, well, that's where you're at. Right. You could have went to school someplace else. You're balling in San Francisco. Yep. If you're Asian, you're awesome. Right. But you chose to stay in Colorado. So when he hears her talk about her sister sings in Korean, he's like, oh, diversity. Maybe she's going to be a lot more open-minded. Her dad started singing in Korea and now her sister does. And, you know, Patrick's issue has been the only Asian and predominantly white world. So I think he's getting excited. Like there's some hope here.
The next date they had was a basketball date. Cause again, she told him she's really good at basketball. She plays all the time. And she was good at that little basketball game, right? She can dunk those. She can dunk those little balls and shoot the three pointers really good. But they both asked the question, was attraction really important before the pods? And they both said yes. Casey said her dad and stepmom very attracted to each other. And her dad even warned her that attraction is important. But she was coming to this like, hey, attraction is important.
Right.
Another red flag?
I can't say it's a red flag. I think they're just being honest.
Okay.
Because you come in this experiment to try to combat that and try not to go into it only thinking about attraction and looks. So I can't say it's a red flag right now. I just think it's them just being honest with each other.
That's a good point.
And they're probably not the only ones that think that. I'm sure everybody that goes to this experiment is thinking about attraction, but then you got to remember what the experiment is about. And maybe that helps them get through it.
No, that's true. Patrick does bring up the fact that he's the only person of his ethnicity growing up in Colorado. And of course, what does Casey do? Exactly what any one of us would do when somebody says something like that.
Yes.
So, what are you?
What you is?
My bad. If it's HBCU, what you mix with?
Yeah. What you mix with?
You got engine in you?
You got that good hair.
Why is he so hesitant and feeling like he would be judged for who he is? It's like people have been saying in chat so far, he doesn't like himself. He doesn't have the confidence in himself, in who he is.
I would agree with that. You need to be in tune with who you are. And this is who you are. You are Chinese and Cambodian? Yeah.
Yes.
Half Chinese and half Cambodian. That's who you are. Learn about your culture and just embrace that. Don't shy away from it. And I think more women would be more attracted to him if he had that confidence of, this ain't, I'm the only Asian in Colorado. This is awesome. You know, I can tell y'all if a Chinese place is good or not. I'm half Chinese. Trust me, right? I mean, play with it and like use it to your advantage and talk some trash and have some fun with it. So I just feel like he's lacking that level of confidence. But the thing that bothered me the most is once he finally told her, then he asked, have you ever dated an Asian guy before? And of course she's like, no.
Right. Of course.
And I'm like, red flag.
By the way, J-Ro says, I hate how Patrick seems to have an issue with embracing his ethnicity. I want to be proud and not see it as a negative, which is what you're saying. You know, because it's interesting. I'm black and I'm proud. Exactly. And you should be proud. You should be proud of what you are, who you are, right? But here's the thing. She said that even though she hasn't dated an Asian man, that won't stop her, right? Mm-hmm. And then she goes to show the diversity in her extended family, right? Because three of her brothers, one brother dates an Asian woman. Another one dates a half black woman. Another one dates a half Mexican woman. See, it's the United Nations when they have Thanksgiving and Christmas at her house.
Okay. Here's what I don't like about that.
Okay.
To me, what she did is the equivalent of saying, I'm not racist. My best friend's black. You know what I mean? It's just...
Somebody said that in the chat earlier.
Yeah, I feel like that's the exact same thing. Is it? Oh, no, I totally get it. I have, you know, half Hispanic, half black. And yeah, it's all good at our house. It's the, you know, United Colors of Benetton where I grew up. No.
Only thing you hear is this cup stirring. And get up.
Yeah, get into the sunken place. Just...
That's what I heard when I heard that. Like, wait a minute. We'll get back to them a little bit later because Patrick also has another date and another connection. That's with Anna. And this triangle goes real. This is interesting. We're going to bounce between these two real quick, right? These two relationships. Patrick grew up, as he told us before, the only Asian kid in class in the friend group. Mm-hmm. And Anna says she typically goes for red flags. And she claims to have dated all over the place. As long as they were white. I'm like, that's not.
I dated everybody. Blonde hair, blue eyes, brunette, brown eyes, white.
So pasty white to suntan. Yeah, yes, I've dated all over.
No albino, but I'd be interested.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh my God, this is interesting, man, because. At the same time, Patrick has only dated white girls, but he says obviously it's because of who where he is.
Again, the experiment is not about what you've normally dated. Mm-hmm. They have so much in common.
Yes.
Right? They have so much in common that you would think, like, this seems like a good match. Both parents from different countries. They both speak different languages. There's so many things they have in common. And they both like white people. So it's like there's so much in common. Yeah, a lot of commonality with these two. So that is just surprising that I think that's going to be the issue that they have that doesn't make it work.
Was that more surprising than the fact that Anna, who is so close with her mom, says that her mom has no idea where she is or what she's doing?
I don't buy that. Because if you're that close with your mom and you're going to go in this experiment where they take your phone away for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're going to let your mom text you and just not respond for weeks and y'all talk all the time? I don't buy that.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I bought it either, but I think, you know, here's the thing that they did point out, because everybody's pointing out in the chat the fact that they just don't date anybody that looks like them, both of them. This is something they have in common. Anna points out that they, and she even points that out too, says, look, we are not each other's physical type typically, right?
Right.
But then she asks, is this more than a friendship attraction? And they both agree that, yes, it is more than just friendship. There's more than just a friendship attraction. There's actual romantic attraction there. They have chemistry, yet they're both fighting it. And as they talk it out, tell me if you got the same pop the balloon vibe that we're about to hear it on the next date. We got a match.
We got a match. Yeah. Well, I will say, to be fair.
Oh, too.
Anna and Patrick, right? Imagine you grow up in a neighborhood and you go to a school where there's three Asian people and one's a girl, two girls, one guy. There's one option for you to go after. Yeah.
Right.
And then y'all are going to go through elementary school together. Maybe you hope somebody relocates some other Asian people into Denver or whatever. Probably not. So I think that it's not that they don't like Asians. Mm-hmm. I just think that they've not seen enough of them as options. They've only seen like these two, the Hongs over there. That's, I know them. And no, that's it. Yeah. So they're supposed to just not date till they relocate out of Colorado? No.
And that's exactly what Bluebell is saying, right? I don't think Anna nor Patrick had opportunities to date other Asians. Because Because you know it. I mean, you go to a place and, you know, it's you and there's one other black person all the way on the other side of the room. They're like, hey, you two know each other.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll see. Oh, how many times have I had that? Terrell, I know this girl. I think y'all would be great together. Like, oh, so you met a black girl. And you think because she's black and I'm black, we should just get together. Awesome.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting is as they're leaving, Anna tells Patrick, "Don't hurt me, dude."
Mm.
She is very clear in that, right? But then yeah. Let's get to the other one because she's also seeing Blake. Now,
yeah,
neither's very religious, and Anna says Blake doesn't sound homophobic or racist, so that means no flags, right?
Right, positive, win-win.
But next time we see them, they're on a camping date, right? Now, yeah. Blake likes Megan. Because remember, he's been on dates with Megan, yeah. But his comfort zone is with Anna. So he's really into yeah. Anna. And they're on this camping yeah. date. Where they're making s'mores. And they're doing this fun little playful, the wild animal mating call. Which is just, okay. Favorite type of kiss. Is there any other? I mean, was it peck, French, and that's it? Or did they come up with
Eskimo?
Eskimo kiss.
Yeah, Eskimo kiss. That's my favorite. Where our lips don't touch.
Or did we take back the French kiss and now it's called the American kiss?
I don't know. For it to be the American kiss, it's probably a little more aggressive. Depending on the color of your tongue.
Well, here's what came up. Ghosting came up, right? Yeah. By the way, Jay Blake loved that s'mores date idea. Funny idea, right? A nice fun date idea. Ever ghosted anyone? And Anna says she has, but not someone that she's been dating consistently. She said she has no problem cutting it off. If she's been mm-hmm. dating you consistently, she has no problem cutting it off mm-hmm. without ghosting. And she's still confused because she can't pick between Blake or Patrick, you know. And of course, I can understand the battle with her because she's never really been attracted to a Patrick. And here right. she is finding herself because she can't see him attracted to him.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the next date that she had with Patrick. So it's mm-hmm. Patrick and Anna again. And she says that they've both pretty much figured out what each other looks like. And this is when they start to actually... I know the thought going through your head. Do not say it out loud. Do not say it out loud. I know the thought going through your head. You stop that. You stop that right now.
Okay.
I do like that they actually, as they talk, so they talk that they say, okay, well, let's go ahead and let's just get it out there. And they talk to each other and tell each other exactly what they are. You know, he's got a Japanese name, but he's not Japanese, which is what she thought when right. Suzuki, but how not? So
I really think that what she thinks, what they think each other looks like is just based on a stereotype and based on maybe what they might have seen in Colorado. I don't think that there's enough information for them to be like, oh, I know what you look like.
Yeah.
I just find that odd that that's where they were going. But did you catch how Anna feels like she may have been shallow in her past because yes. she was also someone who struggled with dating out of her race in the beginning? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now she's in this pickle with Blake mm-hmm. and Patrick.
Yeah, because she says that she would talk to Blake in the real world, but wouldn't have given Patrick a smidgen of a shot if she saw what he looked like, which right. is wild. The whole collage of their conversations reveal a lot about her and Patrick's attraction and chemistry and connection. And we see this. I mean, yo, dude, this looks like we got another match here, right?
You think so?
Then Patrick goes on a date. Hello? Hello? Hello?
It's messed up. Like, I said this, I'm like, the producers are assholes because they're just like, hello? Don't say anything. Don't say anything yet. Let them go. Let them do three more times. Hello?
I can't wait till we get to the next episode because there's something really bad about what they did with him.
Yeah.
What they did to Patrick, y'all should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, be consistent. Keep that same energy. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all need mm-hmm. to keep that same energy. That was bad. That was real bad. I felt so bad for him. I felt so bad for him, man. He got ghosted. Jeez.
Yeah, he did. And she doesn't ghost, but apparently she does.
Yeah, apparently. Before we wrap this up here, Miss Mermaid said, I don't even watch the show, but based on that laugh alone that you had, Terrell, I will tune in.
Thank you. Join us. Join us. Don't make us watch it alone.
By the way, Deanna So True gave us these top three blatant red flags. Number three, Megan. Sparkle Megan?
Yeah.
Number two, Edmund. He's a big kid and too vulnerable. Do you agree?
Yeah, I could see that.
Patrick, so sad, needs therapy. Ari, past rejection issues.
I don't think it's therapy. I just think he needs to get around his people and his culture and learn some things. And that'll give him some confidence because...
So you wouldn't recommend
he's therapy? He's in Denver. If there's an Asian therapist, mm-hmm. sure, that he can connect with. But don't go talk to Braxton.
Braxton, like, yes, I like blonde hair and blue eyes too.
We have so much in common. We should hang out.
By the way, Life is Reality says current rejection issues now too. Yes. Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Oh my God. By the way, Lisa says, I usually breeze through the first few episodes, but they kept my attention. Do you agree? Did they keep your attention in episodes one and two?
It moved really quick. And so that's why I wasn't as bored. You know, the previous season, it just kind of dragged. I feel like this moved pretty quick. So that's what helped keep my attention.
Yeah. So I give them a round of applause for that. We will do episodes 3 and 4 in 2 days, which makes us what, Saturday, right?
Yep. Saturday night.
Yeah. So Saturday night, we will do episodes 3 and 4, and then we'll do 5 and 6 on Monday night. So you'll be ready to go fresh for Wednesday when the next episodes drop. We get a nice little run through. I think is it 7 through 9 next? And
yes.
7 through 9 and then 10 and 11 and then 12 and then the reunion. So that's the roll. So we'll do 7 or maybe 7 and 8 next Thursday. And then the other one, either 8 and 9 or just 9. On next Saturday. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT pod.
Yeah, send us some of the random thoughts or bullshit you find on the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.